You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. I want to welcome everybody who is listening to us right now on the Fantasy Sports Network radio networks as we continue to rack up the terrestrial radio stations across North America. Go to fantasysportsnetwork.com and download the app now, or go to iTunes and all those other cool places that you kids download apps at. Let's do this thing. We've got Dave Malinsky straight from the Strip of Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to talk some NFL football. I love Dave so much, man. We could do like 2 hours with Dave. You know, I'm the one that invented the nickname, the professor, for him. And you know it's a good nickname because he ran with it. You can't invent your own nickname. Somebody else has to give you the nickname. My nickname is the late night anger management professor. Let's see, I was given that years ago. I've also been given other nicknames, a-hole, jerk off, he sucks, all kinds of other type of names too. But Dave Malinsky's going to join us. But we're going to talk some NFL football with Dave. I can talk college. I can do this. I can do that. We can do, you know, we're going to talk NFL football. It's NFL football time. Let's talk NFL football with Malinsky. Coach Esser is going to step up and in. Roto expert Coach Esser is going to break down some fantasy football for us. Fantasy football chaos and carnage, man, in week one. A lot of big ticket players didn't produce very much, and a lot of big players also got hurt. We had a great week one of the National Football League. I can't really do much better. Like I said, I can't come to your house and click it for you. We gave 14 picks on the video. Morenci Unfiltered on Friday. We won 10 of them. We'll take that 10-4. Last night, we gave you 10 picks, two games, props, sides, and all that. We went 6-4. Hey, we'll take it. We didn't get the long field goal in the Rams game because they didn't have to. Nobody even tried to kick a damn field goal. Pretty frustrating. And I'm extremely frustrated. I put in a couple of DK lineups last night. Not like a million. I was in like six contests overall over the weekend. I racked up like 186 points. Now, I thought there was 23,000 people in the contest. Turned out there were 233,000. Then I look and I'm like, damn, I'm in 87th place. I should be making some good money here. What's going to happen? And then I look, I see first place, $50,000. And I'm thinking, oh, man, week one, Monday night, 1:30 in the morning, man, if I can win $50,000, this will really make my day. I'm like, come on, man. And I didn't pray, though. I didn't, you know, God's got better things to do than worry about my punk ass winning a DraftKings tournament. But I was just thinking, come on, give me a break here. Carlos Hyde scores another late touchdown. Thinking, this is special. I had San Francisco defense. If I would have got one more pick six, I probably have $50,000 right now. Literally, I missed out by 4 points. And the worst part is, I didn't know. It was somebody on Twitter that actually tweeted me and said, hey, look, dude, you're only 4 points short of winning. Yeah, thanks. And then I got Drew, cameraman, Livingston, fantasy blitz guy here. Gabe, if you would have entered this contest, you would have won $3,000. Yeah, thanks, Drew. Twix! Mike Cardano's going to join us. Mike Cardano, we're going to talk some football. We got the Jets and the Bills. Normally, I'd bust his balls and say, oh, we got this. We're the Bills. We're going to beat the Jets. We always beat the Jets. But I don't know, man. I'm not really sure. I took my shoe off yesterday in the shoe-in of the week. I don't know. Now Walken says he's going to play, which is even worse for fantasy people. I'm going to ask the experts this week. Should I just bench Sammy Watkins? Is this what it's come to? Put DeSean Jackson in my lineup instead? All right, so we got football. I got some baseball picks for you. And, of course, I've got some intro rage for you as well. Now, I was going to sit here and cry about my fantasy beat. Somebody tweeted me, a buddy of mine. I gave him, he followed my lineup last night. He was in another tournament. He said he missed $5,000 by 0.20 points. And I'm sure you guys watching have a million nightmares out there. I'm the king of bad beats. But you know, we should do a show. Maybe we'll do like a feature every week, just bad beats. But nevertheless, we got football, we got college football, we got NFL football. We've got Major League Baseball. The pennant chase is on right now. For my money, This is the best time of the year to be a sports fan, especially at the end of September, man. That first week of October when NFL games really matter, college really matters, and then we got playoff baseball, and oh yeah, they're dropping a puck in the NHL. But for all you puckheads out there, and you know, really, it's hard to miss hockey. Their off season's like 13 days. So it's like, you know, like they play until like the end of June, and then they're back. Oh, we got our rookie camp July 4th, guys. You know, it's ridiculous. You don't have time to miss this stupid game. But nevertheless, they want to rush things. We got the World Cup of Hockey, and I've been sitting on this one to bitch about this. So let me get this off my chest a little bit, and we'll rip it as the tournament goes on. Now, this tournament's a sham. Doesn't mean I won't be betting on it, but I'm a degenerate loser gambler that bets on anything. Like, seriously, I bet on the New York State lottery numbers, like, recently. Like, no, I didn't play the lottery. I placed a bet over, under, highest number in the pick six New York State lottery. All right? That's hardcore. I won, too. But I'll be betting on it, but doesn't mean it's not a piece of crap tournament. All right? So the World Cup of Hockey's starting. This is just a cash grab by the National Hockey League because they don't want to go to the Olympics because they only want to go to the Olympics when it's convenient for them. They'll go to the Olympics when it's in Vancouver and they can sell a bunch of overpriced Sidney Crosby jerseys, but they don't want to go to the Olympics when it's in South Korea. So they're in a little bit of a battle right now with the Olympics, and the fact is, I don't know what to tell you, Gary, but you need the Olympics more than the Olympics needs you, all right? The Olympic Games will be fine without you. But truth be told, if we want to rip today's modern athletes for being jerks, my grandfather played on the 1936 Team Canada Olympic ice hockey team in the famous German games. And he told me that there were like four dudes that refused to go because they didn't get paid. So it's funny when people say, oh, the old days. Yeah, the old days were the freaking same. Shut up. All right, so the World Cup of Hockey, big freaking scam. We already know this. And, you know, calling this thing the World Cup is like looser than Khloe Kardashian on ecstasy, all right? Like, seriously, the World Cup? You can't, like, have six countries and call it the World Cup, you jackasses. But the best part about this thing is the fact that tickets, I like it. You've got, like, I think there's eight teams, but only six countries and a mixed crap. So it's fitting the tickets are going for $6 on StubHub right now. $6. As, yeah, what a shocker. People aren't, you know, rushing to the ticket windows, Bettman, to pay for a mixed Euro team to watch Finland for $399, jackass. Like, seriously. It's the whole thing's a big-ass joke. The mixed crap is a joke. The whole tournament is a joke. And, you know, the fact that you call it the World Cup is insulting. As a citizen of the world, I want to sue you for copyright infringement of the word world. It's not a World Cup. The soccer has a World Cup. You don't have a World Cup. This is the NHLPA Cash Grab Cup. But you guys are all about cash grabs at the National Hockey League head office, aren't you? So you've got your Winter Classics. Yeah, classic. Yeah, all right, yeah. Real classic. So they're playing in Winnipeg because God knows I want to pay $400 to sit outside in Canada's coldest damn city in the middle of the wintertime watching a hockey game against a piece of crap Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, Jets Oilers. I'll give you $40. I'll give you $40. They're charging $400 a ticket, including for babies. As there's a nice couple that want to take their young child to see the Winter Classic. Figure, hey, let's grow children up on the sport. Not so fast, says the National Hockey League. It's not the Jets, it's the NHL that controls this. They say, no, no, you got to pay for your baby. You can't bring your baby to the game. You've got to pay for the baby. Now, listen, I was just on a plane to Vegas. And I had a baby next to me, and it was annoying as hell. But the fact of the matter is, I'm annoying as hell, and I'm an adult. And I remember I was once a baby and probably crying on a plane at some point in time as well. Now, you can debate whether people should bring babies to sporting events. And you're free to think right, wrong, or whatever. But either way, it's not your decision. It's the parents' decision. Now, charging a baby... Like, seriously, you can't charge a baby. Who charged the baby? Like, charging a baby, they say it's for safety reasons. Yeah, because a six-month-year-old baby will definitely be safer sitting in a ice-cold, frigid football stadium seat than on his mother's lap. Now, my whole point there is the National Hockey League's greed knows no bounds. Now, we can argue who the worst commissioner in sport is, and Gary Bettman actually isn't the worst commissioner in sport. Somehow the NHL has made a ton of money for a league that nobody watches. So he's actually made money. But there's no debate. Gary Bettman, by far, is the sleaziest commissioner of them all, and that's freaking saying something. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we got quite the debate going on here in the studio. I wish, you know what, we should have fired up a Twitter question. We got to start doing this, get you guys more involved, because everyone's got different opinions on this. A lot of people don't think babies should even be going to sporting events. As I stated, you know, I don't want to sit next to a baby at a sporting event. I'm pretty loud, man, and I might spill like a vodka and vodka cranberry on the baby's head or something like that, and then I'll be the bad guy. But whatever side of it is you're on, it's not our choice. It's the parents' choice. But I get the argument. Hey, you want to bring your kid? Shut up and pay the price for the kid. No one's telling you you can't bring your kid, but you got to pay. But at the same point in time, the kid's 6 months old. I think it comes down to the fire marshal deal. They're only allowed a certain amount of people in the stadium. So I don't think the league cares that there's a baby in there. They care that the fact that the baby's going to be cutting in to the amount of tickets that they can sell because of the fire code. But nevertheless, let's talk some football. Let's send it to Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky, straight from the Strip, writes a daily column over at pregame.com. And also there's a link to an NFL preview, a free NFL preview magazine over there as well. Dave, it's always a pleasure, sir. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, I spent a lot of time in Canada. I had no idea babysitters were so expensive that you would take a six-year-old to a sporting event.
Yeah, 6 months. Yeah, it's unbelievable, Dave.
I mean, 6 months. You know who should be chiming in? The child psychologist on this, because a six-month-old is not going to get anything from the experience. Might, in fact, be spooked a little bit by loud noise, but it's not like you are behaviorally doing something that's going to benefit that child at that age.
And honestly, Dave, like Winnipeg, you know Canada, Winnipeg, in the middle of the winter, at a nighttime at an outdoor hockey game, Dave. Like, I was going to say, like, you know, like, where could it be colder? Like, I bet you it's colder in Winnipeg than it is, like, in Iceland. You know what I mean? Like, Winnipeg is, like, Arctic-type cold, Dave. I don't know if sitting with a baby for 5 hours at a hockey game outdoors is the smartest idea either.
Well, here's the thing. If you're the parents, so you want the baby on your lap to help keep you warm. I can at least understand
that.
Well,
what do you think of this, Dave? Last year, and we'll move on from the baby talk, but last year in the Blue Jay fans get pretty hammered, and they throw things a lot. So last year, there was a bad call. Remember in the playoffs, people were freaking out. They littered the field with beer cans. And there was a woman, like, in the front row, right behind the dugout, and she got hit in the head with a beer can, and beer went all over her and her baby. And people were freaked. They wanted the guy arrested, but there was, like, it was kind of split. People are like, you know the Jays games are rowdy. You're sitting, like, right above the dugout, and what are you bringing your baby for? And I agreed, because it was a rich woman. And she could afford it a damn babysitter, Dave, right? Like, the mother's saying for the hockey thing that she needs to breastfeed the child. That's why the kid needs to be there. But babies, Dave. It is what it is. Is there a baby, like, right now in the hallway? No way. There's a baby crying in the hallway right now. There's no babies in TV studios. This better be the owner's baby. Whose baby is this? Bring the baby in here. Can save our ratings. Bring the baby in. Go see if you can get the baby in here. I can't believe this. We're talking about babies, and I hear a baby crying. I think it's like a joke, Dave. But speaking of crying and babies, I was crying like a baby last night because I had the Washington Redskins.
You deserve to cry if you had the Washington Redskins. But what a disappointing way to start the season, because they did not look ready. It's one thing to not play well. It's another to not be ready. That's a team that wasn't prepared on either side of the ball to play that game.
I'm glad it went over the number because that's what saved me. I went 3-1 last night. Had the over in the early game. Had the Skins, unfortunately, but then had the Niners and had the under in the game. So let's not live in the past too much. Anyway, see, we got a kid right here. Bring him up. You can't make this stuff up. I know, you can't believe this. I'm in the middle of a baby wreck.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
See? It's not safe to bring babies anywhere. They nearly just stepped on it. Hey, how you doing, little man? You all right?
Yeah, I just had a little moment.
What do you think? What do you think of the Cowboys and the Redskins this week?
What do you like?
You like the Cowboys?
Yes or no?
No, he's not impressed with the Cowboys. Redskins? You see, it's amazing that we're ranting about a baby. Hey, thanks for bringing it up here. You can tell your little friends you're a TV star now. We're in the middle of a baby rant. We got a kid screaming in the hallway here. All right, so Dave Malinsky with us. I apologize, Dave's chaos here in the studio. But so what do you make of this? We got the Redskins who look terrible, who have to be pissed right now. Gruden has to be ripping into these guys. And saying, you know, that was an abomination on Monday Night Football. You got the Cowboys who lost, Dave, but the Cowboys actually have something to build on a little bit, and Dak Prescott wasn't the issue for the Cowboys. This is a really interesting game and a massive game, although early in the season, Dave, a division game that's a massive game for both teams. Neither of these teams can afford to go 0-2.
No, you don't dig out of an 0-2 hole because they'd be 0-2 in winnable games. Yeah, and you can't afford to let those get away. I thought the Cowboys did a bad job with Prescott Sunday because they didn't attack. They didn't throw the ball down the field. I'm reading all this stuff about, well, no turnovers, no sacks. He played well. No, he actually played lousy. He was number 29 in the NFL in pass efficiency. His yards per pass was 50% below the league average yards per pass. They tried dink and dunk to play safe. You can't win in the NFL playing safe unless you're really, really good. Cowboys aren't good enough for that. So it backfired on them. They tried to baby him into the game Sunday. They ended up losing because of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Buffalo Bills did the same thing, Dave, for one reason or another with Tyrod Taylor. And I saw the same thing with Dallas. They were so insistent on running the ball on first down. You know, I mean, sometimes they get 1 or 2 yards. Elliott only ended with 51 yards. And then they put themselves in these must-pass situations. You're right. As they say at casinos, right, Dave, scared money never wins.
And that's what it was. You have to be able to stretch a defense. I mean, Dez Bryant caught one ball for 8 yards the entire game. What happens when you don't stretch the defense? The safeties are in the box against the run. So Ezekiel Elliott got 2.6 yards per rush. He had 20 carries, and not one of the 20 went for more than 8 yards. The Cowboys needed to open it up. They didn't do it.
So, you know, this is a tough game. I wanted to bring it up because the game they played last night, it's a high-profile game here, Dave. But it's a pretty tough spot. You know, generally the Cowboys are very, very, very good road underdogs, especially in division play. But I think the Redskins are going to be in a foul mood. Hard to see the Skins losing 2 games in a row at home. But I'm not in a hurry to be laying 3.5, the number I see right now with this game, Dave.
No, it looks like it's supposed to be 3, even with the Dallas limitations. The only caution, though, people will talk a lot about the road dog record. A lot of that was because of Tony Romo, who was a real cool customer.
Yeah.
You know, on the road. When the quarterback is calm, the rest of the team stays calm. Let's see if the Cowboys can do that Sunday.
I'm kind of an idiot because I picked the Washington Redskins last night to cover the point spread. But I also picked the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, Dave, right here on the show to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm very high on the Steelers, and what a lethal offense. Unbelievable, Dave. You know, even when they're shorthanded, they're still lethal. You know, D'Angelo Williams, Le'Veon Bell, doesn't matter who's back there. They're just devastating from the running back position. Antonio Brown just does his thing no matter what. But what did you make of the Redskins not putting Josh Norman on Brown? Because, oh, it's not on his side. It was ridiculous, man. Breland was getting killed, Dave. I don't know. It drove me crazy.
It depends upon what they think their scheme really is. If they do believe that that's their best by not switching Norman across the field, that's when I talked about the notion of not being prepared. You know, if you think that's your scheme, you have to stay with it. But why would you come into game one with that limited of a scheme? And if you're the Redskin coaches and you look at the schedule, you think, okay, week number 1, Antonio Brown, we have to be ready for that. Week number 2, Dez Bryant. We have to be ready for that. Week number three, Odell Beckham. We have to be ready for that. If you're going to see three of the best receivers in the NFL the first 3 weeks, you better build a flexibility into your schemes. That was bad coaching.
Yeah, it's a great point, Dave. You know, watch. They're going to put Breland on Odell now, too? It's just where he lined up. The Steelers' role, interesting game here, Dave, because you could say it's actually a revenge game for the Bengals against the Steelers this week. Yet at the same point in time, it's rare to say that a team that beat the team in the last game is in a revenge spot. But it's kind of a revenge game for Pittsburgh, too, because they beat Cincinnati. But Cincinnati cheap shot of them and injured half their team. These teams generally hate each other. It used to sort of be Baltimore and Pittsburgh, with Baltimore not being as good anymore. Cincinnati's just slotted into this we hate Pittsburgh and they hate us role, except they really hate each other. Even Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I remember in the old days, Dave, they used to say, yeah, we don't like each other, but we have a big respect for each other. Like, you know, we actually respect each other a lot. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh don't really seem to respect each other. They just seem to hate each other.
That's why there was such a mystery at the end of the game last night. Steelers got the ball up 15 with a little over 4 minutes left. On that last drive, Antonio Brown caught a pass. D'Angelo Williams ran five times. Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball. Why were they on the field? Especially D'Angelo Williams at the age of 33. You got a 33-year-old running back who's going to have has to fly back to Pittsburgh and have a short practice week before facing the Bengals. Why were those guys on the field up 15 with that much time left? That's a head-scratcher. That's one of those things where I thought Tomlin's game management left the door. Now, you can say they got away with it. Nobody got hurt. They broke the game open. But how tired might Williams be come Sunday? It's rare enough, you know, for an NFL back to play at the age of 33. He had 23 carries and caught six passes. That's a big workload.
And last night, Dave, we saw the Redskins ran some nice plays, but were unable to string it together. You know, Pittsburgh's offense is great, but, you know, Dalton and Green, it's unbelievable. Even when A.J. Green's just alone, he still finds a way to get open. You can see Pittsburgh having some problems here with Cincinnati, Dave. I can see the Bengals going in here and upsetting them, actually.
It wouldn't really be much of an upset, even though, you know, technically by the point spread, it's an upset. No, when these teams get together, there just isn't much home field advantage because they're used to the other place's place so well. I don't consider it an upset. I have concerns about Williams playing two games in 6 days at his age, so there is that issue. Also, the Steelers will gimmick up against A.J. Green. The Jets chose to not do that. Sort of worked and didn't work. That people are talking about how he scorched Darrell Revis, but by going to that man-to-man coverage, well, guess what? They sacked Andy Dalton seven times. That was by far the most sacks on week one. So part of what the Jets did really did work on Sunday.
All right, Dave. Unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes left already here. So let's blast through a couple of quick games here. 49ers and Panthers. 49ers last year were in this spot. And they won. They won the Monday Nighter, and I cashed a ticket last night with them. So I decided to dig a little deeper, and I'm like, all right, how do they do in week two? And I remember the game. In week two, they went to Pittsburgh, and they got smashed 43-18 to a Pittsburgh team that lost to New England, Dave. Now we got Carolina, heartbreaker, missed the field goal against Denver. They've lost two straight games, Carolina, Super Bowl, and now week one. They got to take the frustrations out on somebody. What do you make of this one? Quickly on this so we can get to the Seahawks and the Rams, too.
This one gets real ugly. In fact, I'm surprised the NFL allowed the setting. Not only Carolina extra practice days, but a Monday night game on the West Coast, traveling all the way across the country to play Sunday. I'm surprised they allowed that. I think the 49ers get pummeled.
And you know the Niner players went out and partied hard last night, Dave, after that. 28-0 shutout win. You know, everyone was feeling good after Tuesday's their day off. And then he got it. All right, guys, Wednesday, walk through there. Thursday, let's go to Carolina. You're right. This it's going to be a beatdown. I see a 14 out there right now. And then conversely, Dave, Seahawks and Rams. So the Rams coming off the flat performance. You and I have talked about this. You brought it up with Rex Ryan, and it was a great call. I feel the same way with Jeff Fisher, that the modern NFL has passed him by. I've defended Fisher in the past, but we're not. It's not 10 years. He doesn't have Steve McNair anymore. He doesn't have Eddie George anymore. It's a different era right now. And you know, they got tattooed, Dave. Talk about not being ready to play. They're going to be fired up because it's the home opener in Los Angeles. But, oh, yeah, you got a Seattle team coming to town. But the Seahawks didn't look good in week one. You wrote about their offensive line issues in the offseason. Their offense sort of stumbled a little bit, but Russell found a way to win for them. What do you make of this one? Seahawks being a much better team, but the L.A. Stadium deal here and first game.
Yeah, big problem for the Seahawks in that offensive line. It's just a mess right now. They didn't even get into the red zone against Miami until the final drive of the game Sunday, and they had to convert two fourth downs to get that score. So that offensive line is a problem. Well, guess what? You go on the road against Rams, the one strength the Rams have, their defensive front. So what happened last year when you put a bad offensive line against a good defensive front? The Rams won both games outright as underdogs. As bad as the Rams were last night, no surprise if they're right there to the gun against Seattle, maybe even winning the game this week.
Dave Malinsky, go over to pregame.com. It's worth your time. It's excellent insight. Dave's dropping nuggets, your picks of the day, looks ahead. And, great stuff, Dave. 2 weeks in a row, you've nailed the college. We got to get out of here. I'm getting a hook right now. So like 15 seconds. Do you have a college football bone to throw us?
Yeah, if they go back and read the Monday column, prime reasons to place Stanford over Southern Cal this week. It has something to do with class. People may find it interesting. We'll look for Stanford.
And you know what? I read that. Very, very interesting. Stanford haven't gone to school yet. They got nothing to do but think about the games. That's why you got to read the professor's column. Excellent insight you're only going to get from Dave. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. Right, we're going to take a quick break. We got Cardano. We got Coach Essert. We got fantasy football talk. We got NFL picks. We got baseball picks coming up next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenz. We now welcome Mike Cardano, the host of Out of Bounds on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday to Friday, with Greg Sussman. As Mike, big news, our radio network app is taking off. Terrestrial radio stations jumping on board. And now Roto Experts want a partnership to provide content with the Associated Press.
A lot of good stuff. And don't forget to go out and get that new app. We have a new app out for the radio station, and it is free to listen to. So check your app store now.
So people are driving around in their cars listening to me yell about babies?
They're going to today, yeah.
They're going to today. All right, so week one of the NFL officially in the books. We'll get to the postmortem of the Bills and the Jets, who happen to be playing each other this Thursday, Mike. But pretty crazy week one, man, in which a lot of big-name players didn't really produce. You know, everyone wanted big numbers from Elliott, didn't really get them. I wanted bigger numbers from Odell Beckham, didn't get them. We could go down the list. Freeman was a guy that people are now wondering about. Sammy Watkins, Keenan Allen gets injured. But a guy that I did draft in a fantasy cup, and I got bad luck, man. I had like 150-something points, man, and I lost to Marion Lee. I would have won like nearly every other damn matchup, but that's fantasy football. But D'Angelo Williams, man, this guy's good. And that system is so good for running backs. Is it that Williams is great, that Le'Veon Bell is great, or is the system great, Mike?
Well, Gabe, I know you had a bad week in fantasy because you lost to my kid in one for him.
He's the better Cardano, right?
Aptly named. Listen, 26 rushes, 143 yards, two touchdowns, six catches for 28 yards. That's Le'Veon Bell numbers. You know, my thinking here is, I may be wrong, but I feel pretty strongly that when Le'Veon Bell comes back, Williams just doesn't get totally discarded this year and go right to the bench. I think he takes some carries away from Le'Veon Bell. Maybe it's late in games if they have a lead or if they're behind, or they just give him a blow so that they can keep Le'Veon Bell healthy going forward. So when week four comes and the rest of the season, I don't think D'Angelo Williams is just going to go away. Now, I don't think it's enough for him to be fantasy relevant, but I think it does knock Le'Veon Bell down just a little bit.
I agree with you. And, you know, you look, the Steelers, I believe their bye is in week seven. But either way, I know it's before week eight. So basically, for Le'Veon Bell owners, you're only going to have Bell for three games in the first 8 weeks. And I completely agree with you. They're going to mix Toussaint in here as well, Mike. The Steelers have learned their lesson, I think, in the sense that, you know, we've seen in the last couple of years, man, they can go to the Super Bowl. They have this lethal offense, and they even though their defense is suspect, they can score enough to outscore anybody in the AFC, I think. But they always get injured. They always get injured. I think it's just solely focused on the playoffs now. You'll have Bell. They'll be thinking, we got a fresh Bell. Let's not overexert him. So we have a healthy Williams and a healthy Bell going into the playoffs together. And I think Toussaint. Toussaint won't be fantasy relevant either, but I think it hurts Bell a little bit. Not to mention he's a free agent, too. And, you know, Bell, if he's a little banged up, he's going to think, I don't want to, you know, it's a contract year. Like, Bell's still an awesome player, but I think there's a lot of variables against him.
Yeah, you know what? I think that we found out that Ben Roethlisberger, he's not replaceable, and either is Antonio Brown. But on that team, in terms of the NFL, Le'Veon Bell is.
All right, so you mentioned me losing to your kid. Yeah, I like the way you put it. You lost to my kid. How old's your kid? I didn't lose to, like, your 9-year-old, though, did I?
19.
Yeah, he's 19. Yeah, he's 19.
He's out drinking in college, and he's still beating you.
No. Hey, listen, I didn't get killed. And for the record, I want to come on the radio show to give my side of the story here, right, with this draft.
We'll give you a forum.
But honestly, I did pick the starters, so I can't complain about that. And maybe I would have beaten your kid, and congrats to the better Cardano, and it is a good name, you know. I knew it was him and not you when I saw that. But Ezekiel Elliott. You know, I took Elliott. I didn't buy into Elliott, but you guys know the deal. My computer kept crashing during the draft. I had 10 seconds to decide. I'm like, Elliott. I put it in. You know, 51 carries. One game doesn't make a season, but what's your take on Elliott? Were you weren't overly excited about him coming into the year, weren't you?
No, here's the problem, I think. If Dez Bryant isn't going to be what they need him to be, I think that hurts Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he had one catch, Dez Bryant did. And he only had 5 targets. And listen to this. Prescott dropped back 45 times and only threw him the ball 5 times. That means he's not getting open. So that means they're going to stack the box and they're going to jump on this kid. So I think unless Dez Bryant can get it going, he's going to have a lot tougher time than people think he would have.
I'll tell you, though, looking at those big fat holes in the Washington Redskins' run defense, the Cowboys must think they can run the ball. We just had Dave Malinsky on, and he raised a good point that they were too conservative. You know, let Dak Prescott throw the ball. If you play to lose in the NFL, you'll lose. And that's what I saw with the Buffalo Bills as well. We gave Tyrod Taylor $90 million to have him to hand the ball off 2 straight times and then pass in 3rd and 8 on every series. It's ridiculous. I don't think they did Prescott any favors. They kept waiting for Elliott to pop one, and it just wasn't happening. And, man, the Giants' defense really popped them a couple of times too, Mike. Like, enjoyed hitting them.
Yeah, you know, if you know you don't have to cover behind you, that they're not throwing the deep ball, you can come up, and it's tough for him to run. So unless they start letting him stretch in the field and he manages the game, you know, it's like he's playing in the Kansas City offense the way they're doing it now. He's just not going to put up spectacular numbers that way, and neither is Ezekiel Elliott.
Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 4 touchdown passes. I bought in when we did our bold predictions that day, Mike, my bold yep. prediction, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers make the playoffs at plus 300. Love what I saw in week 1. They go into Arizona this week. They're getting like 6 points, too. I think they can cover the number, and I think Winston can have another big fantasy game, too.
That's going to be an offense to key on in fantasy this year. It really is. I like Austin Seferian Jenkins as well. A lot of people are down on him. I think he's the best tight end that they have, and he'll be on the field meaningfully, despite what the coaches saying is being in the doghouse. But Winston's got a lot of weapons. He's very, very accurate with the ball, and I think they're going to have a fantastic season. If their defense holds up, their offense is going to score points. They'll be able to score with Arizona. I know Arizona's got a good defense. They're not going to stop Tampa Bay. The question for them in terms of winning is, can their defense hold up?
Look at last year, a rookie, 22-15, 22 TDs, 15 picks. Already a 4-to-1 ratio, Mike. I'm telling you, he's the next Cam Newton.
Don't forget, he started off his first pass in the NFL was an interception.
Yeah, and he's in better shape now. He's mentally really – people don't realize this about Winston – he could have went to Stanford. They wanted him to, you know, he did a lot of dumb things off the field in college, but he's actually a smart kid. Like, he was smart enough that They were like, yeah, you can come to Stanford and play here. And that's saying something. Jets and Bills, not really a fantasy relevant. Man, I just want to, like, slip my wrist, man, that I took Sammy Watkins, man. I should have taken Brandon Cooks. Watkins a great player, but, you know, the Bills are so damn flaky. It was a stupid thing to do. Now I got to live with it. He's already hurt. It's a nightmare. I think the Jets pound the Bills, but the Bills have beaten them five straight times, Mike. Who do you think wins this game? You're a Jet fan. I'm a Bills fan. Who do you like? Because I think the Jets win.
The reason I think the Jets win this game is because I think the recipe is now out on the Bills quarterback, and that's to just make him stay in the pocket and throw the ball. He likes to play street ball, break contain, and he can make plays that way. But if you just make him fade back and pass and stay in the pocket, and the Jets have a fierce pass rush. I don't know how many sacks they had this week. It was at least five, if not more.
Seven.
It's for that reason, really. They're going to contain him and not let him get outside the pocket and force him to throw the ball as a pocket passer. That's just not his game. I know they gave him the big money. There's a reason that
he doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to, though, Mike. Like, really. And no, Taylor was terrible, and it was pathetic, and Greg Roman's useless. But the fact is, we all knew this. This is on the GM. You had Sammy Watkins and nobody. Yeah.
I don't know if Watkins is injury prone or prone to injury, but he's not healthy now. He wasn't healthy during the summer. He's not healthy now, and I just got to stay away.
Could have taken how'd Will Fuller look right now with the Buffalo Bills? You know, like, they're idiots. They're idiots. Like my rant yesterday, they're losers. All right, I am a Dodger fan, though. The Dodgers aren't losers. Suddenly, I don't know, there's something about this team. They're a scrappy team. They've had 13 different starting pitchers this year. Very, very improbable, man, that they are where they are. But think next year, Mike. DeLeon, Urias, and Kershaw. Holy crap, man. And think playoffs, even. These kids are fearless. Dodgers-Yankees tonight. Dodgers won last night.
Dave Roberts has to be a genius. It's unbelievable what he's done with this team and this pitching. It's really crazy. I don't know if you caught it, but the Dodgers fans invaded Yankee Stadium last night. They took over the bleachers. They had a banner that covered the entire bleachers, and they did their own roll call like the Yankees do. So there's going to be some venom from Yankee fans in the air tonight. So it's going to be a wild atmosphere. I like the Dodgers here again tonight. I'm going to lay the run and a half. Sabathia hasn't been pitching well of lately. He's been okay on the season, but as of late, he hasn't. Urias has. It's getting towards the end of the season. They've managed his innings. He's had some issues. They're going to let him throw. I like the Dodgers and all the kids they have tonight.
I like the Dodgers, too. What a great rivalry. I got goosebumps just looking at it. I remember being a kid, literally old school, Mike, listening under the covers on the radio. Dodgers-Yankees World Series, 1977. All right. It's always a pleasure, man. I was going to say, we'll start to get a football pick of the week from you soon. But you got one quick football pick on the way out?
We just talked about it. I'm going to take the Jets.
The Jets, yeah, of course, yeah. All right, Homer.
It is what it is.
See you later, Fireman Mike.
Yeah, talk to you later.
All right, Coach Esser joins us next. We talk some fantasy football. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's talk some DFS football. Let's talk some season-long fantasy football. Let's talk some football with Coach Esser. Steps up and in and joins us. Host of the Fantasy Coach podcast. DFS contributor to various different websites. Coach, always a pleasure. How you doing, Esser?
Good, Gabe. Glad to be on.
All right, so a lot of stuff to get to. A lot of people are pretty concerned right now, and I'm sort of one of them, but I'm not going to freak out after 1 week because a lot of stuff's going to happen. There'll be some surprises, but it was a pretty eventful week one in the fantasy football world, wasn't it?
It really was. We saw some rookies really play well. We saw some injuries. A lot of people are going to be scrambling to the waiver wire. People who had Zach Ertz are going to find the waiver wire really tough to work this week because of the injury to Gronkowski before this week even started. So definitely a big week in fantasy.
All right, so let's jump right in here. Keenan Allen, devastating. Such a monster PPR machine. He was looking great before he gets hurt. Unbelievable for San Diego. Life's so great, they're winning, and then they lose Allen for the year. They lose the game as well. What do you make of Travis Benjamin? He's a good, very good deep threat. He was productive in Cleveland without a lot of talent around him. So, you know, I like Benjamin a lot, actually, sort of more so in DFS. But I like Benjamin a lot as sort of a guy that can, you know, haul in a couple of bombs per game and, you know, get you some points. Now he's elevated on the depth chart. What do you make of the passing attack now with the Chargers?
Yeah, I think you really got to look at Travis Benjamin. I mean, his size being so small at 175 pounds, you might have to also back it up with a cheap Tyrell Williams or Dontrell Inman. Maybe just back it up a little bit for your team, especially if you were counting on a guy like Keenan Allen. Antonio Gates looked like a shell of himself. So I think Benjamin's the number one guy there.
What do you make of the Sammy Watkins situation? I almost wish, you know, I'm a Bills fan. I love the Bills. But I almost wish, like, it's like you're either hurt or you're not. Like, you know, this stuff all see on the offseason that he broke his foot. And then he mocked people on the media. You guys in the media don't know anything. And he's, you know, he's doing backflips in his backyard. Look, my foot's fine. And then, look, after one game, he's crying about his foot. I don't want to call this kid soft, Dennis, but there's a pattern here of this. There's always an excuse after. And, like, it's like, oh, my foot hurts so much, but I'm going to play on Thursday. Like, what, you know, if you can play, play. If you can't, can't. But don't play and then say you can't play after. It drives me crazy. And I might just bench him now. And it pisses me off because I took him with the 24th pick. And I might be, hey, you know what? Yeah, I got DeSean Jackson in the 7th round. But he's a better option now. And it angers me, man. What do I do?
It's really crazy that after week one, you're in that situation. A lot of people are in that situation. It kills the offense overall. Watkins was a go-to guy. I loved him, especially in standard leagues this year, because you know he's a little bit boom or bust. But at 5 catches, 100 and something yards, you know, good to go. People were talking him up because Tyrod was going to be facing his old team in week one. Now with this injury and with the way the NFL is running their questionable tag, it's going to be tough to count on him. Like right now, he's got to be more of a flex option and look and see what happens from week to week.
Yeah, and look who they're playing, the Jets, who are going to be in a bad mood after last week letting A.J. Green go off. And I'm a Bills fan, but I'm not dumb. But yeah, I'm dumb because I'm a Bills fan. But Sammy Watkins isn't as good as A.J. Green is. You know what I mean?
No, he's not. A.J. Green, I love, like, you know how many people ask me what to do, like pick 5 or 6? And I'm like, take A.J. Green. And then they wouldn't listen to me. I said, why do you even bother talking to me?
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I'm in like six, seven leagues. I don't have A.J. Green. And I'm like, well, I don't know. He doesn't have a lot of help. They lost Hugh Jackson. I'm an idiot. A.J. Green just gets open, man. It's unbelievable. All right, so speaking of which, Will Fuller. Everyone goes crazy after 1 week, Dennis. So are you going crazy after 1 week with Will Fuller? Seems to have a rapport with Osweiler. Thing is, Hopkins is great. But Osweiler wasn't there before, right? So it's not like, yeah, I'm locked in with this guy. Maybe he's looking and he's like, hey, damn, this kid Fuller's open. This kid Fuller's open. Very interesting developments here. What do you make of Will Fuller? I know he can't top 5, 122 in a touchdown. And he's got a tough matchup this week against the Chiefs. For the record, Will Fuller's $4,200 on DraftKings right now.
Yeah, he was $3,700 last week, and when the pricing came out, before we knew that we were going to get such cheap prices at the running back spot, at the quarterback spot with a couple of guys, I loved Will Fuller, so I was glad I kept him in some lineups last week. He's better than Boomer Bust because of the fact that he gets open so easily with that speed. He got 3 red zone targets. He was in the top 20 as far as red zone targets was last week. I really like him. Him and Tajay Sharpe are just right there where maybe Sharpe might outpoint him in PPR leagues because of him being the number one guy there. And meanwhile, Fuller might be the better kind of boomer bust type guy for standard leagues.
Yeah, Sharpe I grabbed in a couple of leagues a couple of weeks ago, and I'm feeling pretty smart about that right now. 11 targets, man. That's a lot of targets for a guy. 11 targets in week one, 7 catches, 77 yards, $4,100 this week. And, you know, Detroit Lions defense can make a play when they have to, but nevertheless, you know, the Lions defense isn't suffocating. Could be some points put up on the board here with the Titans and the Lions this week. Do you like Sharpe this week?
I do. I like Sharp a little bit. You know, Mariota, though, frustrated me with what he was doing in the red zone. He was really deferring to the running backs. Looks, he wasn't targeting the tight ends, like loosening up the outside by going to the middle. So that worries me a little bit. There is some other pricing I like. That Giants game, trying to use some Giants receivers against that New Orleans defense this week.
Yeah, how about Victor Cruz? How about Victor Cruz's return? And yeah. I like Shepard, but I was wondering, are there enough balls to go around for everybody? I wonder if Odell secretly is like, damn, I don't know, man. And if you're an Odell Beckham owner like I am in a couple of leagues, I'm thinking it's not automatic anymore. You got Cruz open, and Sterling Shepard for a first game was very impressive. Not just from a fantasy standpoint, but the roots, the blocking. He looked like a professional wide receiver after one game.
He did. He was mixing it up in the middle, trying to get in front for Rashad Jennings. I was impressed with how he played. Eli Manning wasn't at his best this week, too. He was off. He killed a couple of drives with some bad throws to the outside. So if Eli Manning gets going and the Giants could have more plays, because they only ran 55 plays, so that keeps some of the targets down for all three of the receivers. So I like all of them. It's tough. You just want to use all of them. It might be a week-to-week thing where one team is really having trouble covering over the middle, so we might go to Cruz, might go to Shepard a little bit more, or on the outside go to Odell if he's going to be in bump and run coverage a lot.
Coach Esser with us. Hey, man, it's always a pleasure. It was great seeing you at the Fantasy Cup a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully we'll see you down at the Syracuse-Notre Dame game at MetLife Stadium. I want to get to Michael Thomas. Sean Payton says, hey, if I had a team, I'd draft him on my team. Sean Payton about Thomas. Everyone's going to be on Snead right now, and Snead's good, but it doesn't mean that Snead's going to kill it every week like that. Thomas could be that guy, actually, a dark horse this week against that Giants defense. We got to get out of here, though, Coach. Always a pleasure, man.
Thanks, Gabe. Can't wait till next time.
There's Coach Esser with us. I enjoyed that. Mike Wallace, 3 catches, 91 yards. One thing with Baltimore, now listen, I'm not going to say to Wallace, get a kid, light it up and kill it, especially in PPR leagues. But if you look at Baltimore's wide receivers, with Steve Smith and Kamar Aiken, neither of these guys are deep down the field threat guys. They're very slash cutters, tough guys. And Harbaugh loves to throw the ball deep. Wallace will haul in like 7 or 8 like long touchdowns this year. We got to get out of here. We'll come back when it plays of the day. All right, we absolutely torched it. We torched it week one of the National Football League. Is there a game tonight? Is there a doubleheader? I don't even care if Chris Berman's doing a game. I'll take it. We got to wait a couple of days. We got a football game on Thursday with the Jets and the Bills. But let's jump in right here. All right, Pittsburgh Pirates. The Phillies won their 64th game last night. They were very happy about that. They celebrated. Pirates win. Tigers always beat the Twins. They're 11-2 on the season. They're going to win again tonight. We're going to lay the 70 cents. Athletics cannot hit left-handers. Let's go with the Royals. Rockies, +140. We're flipping a coin. And the Rockies and the D-backs put up a ton of runs. Let's go over the number. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.